You're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 93.7 FM San Diego, and 98.7 FM Santa Barbara. And remember, you can always check us out live on our website. That's at kpfk.org. This is radio powered by you, the people.
This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFK. If you're not already a member, consider joining with us and keep free speech alive.
Yes, they do. They do want to rule the world, and it is getting quite serious. Hey, everyone, welcome to a very special edition of the Bradcast. It is I, Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative citizen blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all-around swell fellow from bradblog.com, occupying your public airwaves here on KPFK's Pacifica 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, 93.7 FM in San Diego, and 99.5 in both Ridgecrest and China Lake, and of course, coast to coast and around the globe on KPFK.org. In today, for Eric Mann, he's usually heard at this hour with Voices from the Front Lines with Eric Mann. But I am in today for a special edition of the Bradcast, a special War on Voting edition of the Bradcast. As today and tomorrow, I'll of course be back. Normally I'm heard 3:30 p.m. Pacific time on Wednesdays right here on KPFK. I'll be back again tomorrow, but between today and tomorrow, this very well may be my last chance, our last chance together, before the actual voting actually begins in the 2012 presidential election cycle. It's rather extraordinary, actually. It seems like it has been going on already for years. But no, not a single vote has been cast. The votes will finally begin to be cast on January 3rd in Iowa, the Iowa caucuses. And while everyone in the nation, all the media, the corporate media, is, as usual, covering the horse race, elements of the horse race that don't matter. I mean, can I get back all of the hours that the corporate mainstream media wasted in my life covering Herman Cain, covering Donald Trump, covering all of the nonsense that does not actually matter, covering the horse race while completely, for the most part, completely ignoring the track conditions on which those horses will run? And anyone who knows me, my work at bradblog.com, my work here at KPFK over the years knows that, I cover pretty much all aspects of those track conditions. The voting machines, concerns about electronic voting, access to the voting booth, the war on democracy that we are seeing now being waged by the Republicans, what I call the front-end war on democracy, keeping anybody from even being able to get into that voting booth, anyone who is not approved by the Republican Party. There's that, and at least that, you know, the good news is that this year, that part of the war on democracy is getting some coverage, as we're seeing state after state, dozens of states now implementing these photo ID, these polling place photo ID restrictions. Thankfully, we are seeing some coverage in the corporate media about this and about the tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, if not millions of voters who will find themselves unable to even cast their legal vote in 2012. We're going to be talking a bit about that today. We're also going to be talking about some of the latest news and concerns with electronic voting. Oh, yeah, all of a sudden the Republicans up in Iowa are suddenly concerned about being hacked. Go figure. We're going to talk about that in a moment. And if the gods are with us, and they never are, we'll even try to get to some of your phone calls a little bit later in the hour here at 818-985-KPFK. That's 818-985-5735. If you want to get online, if you have any thoughts on the war on democracy, any questions about what you'll hear this afternoon. I find as long as I've been reporting this stuff over and over and over, I still hear confusion from folks out there. People who say, well, you know, as long as we have a paper ballot, everything is fine. Well, no, it's not. You need to actually count the paper ballots. And out here in Los Angeles, people think, well, we got paper ballots. What do we have to worry about? Well, what you have to worry about is the fact that that paper ballot is then taken, run through a computer, which either counts the results accurately or inaccurately. Good luck if you ever want to find out. And while we have about a third of the nation in 2012 will still be casting their votes on 100% unverifiable touchscreen voting machines across the nation, incredibly, after all that we know about them, one-third of the voters will be voting on those 100% unverifiable systems. The other two-thirds will be voting on perfectly verifiable paper ballot systems. I say verifiable, but not verified, because very, very few states actually bother to verify the damn ballots to make sure that the computers that count them, the computers made by the same companies you've heard of, Diebold, ES&S, Sequoia, Dominion, Hart InterCivic, all of those private voting machine companies that have taken over our public elections, their computers are also the ones that count these paper ballots. Paper ballots that would otherwise be perfectly countable if anybody actually bothered to actually count them in public, in front of the public, the political parties, the media, the video cameras, so that we could know at the end of the day, at the end of election day, when they announce that winner, so that everyone could know that the person who has been announced the winner actually is the one who received the most votes. I know it sounds like a radical idea. It's crazy, and apparently it is. Because across the country, there are very few places who actually bother to count their ballots. Happily, up in New Hampshire, the first-in-the-nation primary state, they actually do count their paper ballots by hand in front of the public on election night in about 40% of the towns. The rest of the towns, the other 60%, take their paper ballots. They do have paper ballots. That's a good thing. And then they run them through a Diebold optical scan machine, a Diebold optical scan machine that can be easily manipulated, as we've seen time and again, as we saw in the climactic scene of Hacking Democracy, HBO's 2006 Emmy-nominated documentary. We saw a paper ballot election flipped before our eyes on the electronic voting system in such a way that there would be no way to know that the results were flipped unless one actually bothered to, you know, check the paper ballots to make sure that the ballots were counted accurately. Of course, if you're going to check the paper ballots, if you're going to see that the computers counted them accurately, why don't we just count them in the first place in front of the public and do away with these crappy voting systems made by these privatized companies who won't even let election officials examine the voting systems to make sure that they work? Yes, we'll be covering some of that momentarily as well. Okay, well, let's go ahead and start out in Iowa and with the threat of hacking at the GOP Iowa caucus, because AP suddenly decided to cover this story. GOP fears Iowa caucus may be hacked following a purported video threat by the hacktivist group Anonymous. Their fear, as AP reported, is triggered by a little more than a two-minute video tape that was posted on the internet in early November, purportedly created by Anonymous, calling on members in their trademark computer-generated voice to peacefully shut down the first-in-the-nation Iowa caucuses on January 3. This video, it's a short video, and they decry both the Republican and Democratic parties, say that they have sold out to the mega corporations, and they're calling for disruption of the Iowa caucus, which has suddenly, for some reason, now the Republicans care. They didn't care when we warned them about Al-Qaeda, China, Iran being able to access these systems remotely. Now, all of a sudden, now that Anonymous is putting out a tape, oh, now the folks, the Republicans in Iowa, seem to give a damn. Let's play a little clip from that tape, that videotape of Anonymous threatening to shut down the Iowa caucuses on January 3.
The primaries and caucuses put on by these parties are part of an elaborate scam that deceives the public into voting for candidates that serve the private interests of the megacorporations. These parties have deliberately driven tens of millions of people into poverty. Voting for these parties is unethical. They have destroyed the American democracy. We are calling upon you to occupy the campaign offices of presidential headquarters in Des Moines, Iowa on December 27th, and peacefully shut down the first in the nation Iowa caucuses on January 3rd.
So that's the computer-generated ominous voice of Anonymous, at least purported to be. There's no way to know the provenance of that video, if in fact it's legitimate, if in fact Anonymous really is calling for a shutdown of the Iowa caucuses. But according to AP's report on this, the GOP in Iowa is now very concerned about, quote, an Iowa caucus marred by hackers who corrupt the database used to gather votes and crash the website used to inform the public about results that can shape the campaign for the White House. They go on to report that experts in computer security said such concerns are valid. Oh, do you think? I wish somebody had warned them about this. Let's say, oh, I don't know, a year, two, five, a decade ago, as certainly I've been trying to do at bradblog.com. Yes, so now they're concerned. Interestingly enough, they weren't concerned in 2007. When an internet voting election that was set up in Washington, D.C. for overseas military voters was actually hacked, first by good guy hackers, white hat hackers from the University of Michigan, who were able to completely take over the entire system such that when people voted on it, it played the University of Michigan fight song at the end. But while those white hat hackers were inside, they saw that computers from both China and Iran were also in the same system. So what did they do? They changed the password. The password that they were able to take, that they were able to hack over, they changed it so that China and Iran could not get into the system. Well, this did not seem to concern the GOP at the time, because they continue to use these systems. They continue to push for not just electronic voting, but now the next mole to be whacked in this never-ending contest of whack-a-mole, internet voting. They're now calling for internet voting across the country as well. But they're not concerned, for some reason, about the security issues come up. Now, all of a sudden, they're concerned about what may go on in Iowa, rightly so. University of Iowa computer scientist and e-voting expert Dr. Douglas Jones, who I've talked to many times over the years about this stuff, who has been warning many times over the years about the vulnerability of these electronic systems, tells AP that, yeah, it's very clear, quote, that data consolidation, data gathering from the caucuses, which determines the headlines the next morning, who might withdraw or resign from the process, all of that is very fragile. Jones tells AP, who goes on to add that the database itself is the most vulnerable part. Now, here's the way it happens in the Iowa caucus, at least for the Republicans. And it's a little bit different for the Republicans, for their caucus, than it is for the Democratic caucus. the Iowa Republican caucus, voters actually vote on a secret paper ballot by hand. Well, that's good. Now, some of the caucuses actually raise their hand. They actually have a show of hands in the Republican caucuses. The party has said, please don't do that. Please have paper backup, paper ballots to back up any show of hands due to this threat from Anonymous. So that's what they're going to be doing this year. They're going to be writing it on paper ballots. The question is, how are they going to count them? Because the papers are the paper ballots are cast at the caucus sites. That's great. But then how are they counted? Are they counted publicly? Well, they need to be counted publicly in front of the public at the caucus site. Right then and there, before the results are then sent off to Republican headquarters, because that's what they do now. They count them, they call them in, or send them by computer into the Republican headquarters, and then the Republicans then announce the results of their caucus to the public and to the media. Problem is, when they call in those votes to the Republican Party and they put them in the database that it is theoretically being targeted by Anonymous, Anonymous can change the results in that database, but guess who else can? The Republicans can. Not that Republicans would ever do such a thing, of course. But the point is not to secure the system, but to know that the system has been secured. To know so that all voters, yes, even Ron Paul voters, can know if their candidate won or lost. And now with Ron Paul suddenly leading in Iowa, according to the latest polls, this is a very serious question, and Ron Paul fans have reason to be concerned. They have been the victims of fraud in the past. You can go by bradblog.com. You can check out 2010, the Tampa straw poll, where we have videotape of Mitt Romney supporters. Not 2010, I'm sorry, 2008. Where we have Mitt Romney supporters voting again and again and again and again on the electronic voting machines down there in Tampa. Videotape. And they're doing it proudly. And they're not hiding it. They're just sticking the card back in there, voting again, sticking the card back in there, voting again, sticking the card back in there, voting again. Guess who won that straw poll, by the way? Oh, Mitt Romney. Imagine that. So Ron Paul voters have reason to be concerned, as do Mitt Romney voters about what could happen in Iowa. The point here is this, as I always say, this is not about right and left. It's not about Republicans and Democrats. It's not about Mitt Romney versus Newt Gingrich versus Ron Paul. This is about our elections and what's required to have a public elections that the losers can walk away. And their supporters can walk away and know that the vote has been accurately counted. Only way to do that in Iowa is to count those polls in, count those ballots in front of everyone at the caucus sites and post them publicly at the caucus sites before they phone in those results. Decentralize the entire process. That, by the way, is the solution to this entire fine mess. Count the paper ballots at the precinct before those ballots move anywhere. And as I say, that's how they do it in about 40% of the towns in New Hampshire. Seems to me that's the way they ought to do it everywhere. But of course they don't. Now, I've got a report here. Well, I'll get into the Eric Holder stuff in a moment. I want to cover this because we ran a special report at bradblog.com last week. It's an amazing story. The election board in Venango County, Pennsylvania, speaking of Republicans, very Republican county in western Pennsylvania, the election board was made up of two Republicans, one Democrat. The first the director of the board was a Republican, was the treasurer of the Republican Party in Venango County. The other Republican was the chair of the Republican Party in Venango County. The third member of the election board was a Democrat, the former chair of the Democratic Party. They actually had to fight to examine their own voting system, their own public voting system. They actually had to fight to do a forensic analysis of the ES&S touchscreen voting systems that they use out there in Venango County. Those same voting systems, by the way, will be used by, about a third of the country in 2012. The ES&S touchscreen voting machines, those were the ones, the 100% unverifiable voting systems, those were the ones that elected Alvin Green. Remember him from South Carolina as the guy who no one had ever heard of? They elected him as the Democratic nominee for the U.S. Senate in 2010, and nobody could prove whether he actually won or whether he actually lost. Well, they just had to go with it. Well, those were the systems that they had problems with in Venango County in previous elections when they were getting some candidates were showing zero votes. Reporters were reporting that votes were flipping. So the election board in Venango County found a couple of independent computer professors, computer experts at Carnegie Mellon, and made a copy of the system, a copy of the hard drive of the central tabulator, gave it to the computer experts, independent computer experts, and asked them to look at the system. Well, this brought a flurry of legal threats from ES&S. You can't look at our machines. Those are our machines. Those aren't yours. What do you think? Those are your elections? The county commissioners tried to keep this examination, this forensic audit from happening. They fought tooth and nail. Finally, the election board was successful. Finally, they were able to give the material to the independent auditors to look at, and the results are in. Not that they have been made public in many other places other than bradblog.com. I'll tell you some of what those results say in a moment. You're listening to a special broadcast. I'm Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. This is a special report on the war on democracy right here on KPFK. By the way, when we get to the bottom of the hour, we're going to take a break and do some green news with Desi Doyen. So you'll want to stay tuned for that as well. And we will get to some of your calls if you want to line up now at 818-985-5735. That's 818-985-5735. So what did the independent investigators in Venango County find out when they looked at the ES&S tabulator system to look at the audit logs to try to discover why they had recent elections with candidates having zero votes, why voters were reporting candidates not on the touchscreen at all, why votes were flipping from Republican to Democrat or from Democrat to Republican. Well, among the things that they found was that the system had been accessed remotely on a number of occasions, actually on multiple occasions, and for lengthy periods of time, 80 minutes. On November 1, the day before the 2010 elections. By who? Or is that by whom? By whom? We don't know. Why don't we know? Because the county commissioners have come in and said, no, we're going to bury this report. A local judge has actually dismissed the election board before they were able to finish their forensic audit. And yes, ES&S is threatening all of them with a lawsuit. So the only reason we actually have this report, and you can find it at bradblog.com where I ran it, is because the election board, in appealing the judge's decision, included the initial draft of the auditor's report. And that's where we learned that the systems had been remotely accessed time and time again. The tabulator system, the system that controls everything, the system that Anonymous purportedly is targeting in the Iowa caucuses coming up. Are you concerned yet? Oh, there was a bunch of other stuff they found in there as well. They found, for example, items in the audit log right in the middle of the May election. They're supposed to list chronologically all of the, the things that actually happen to the voting systems. When somebody enters it, logs on to program ballots or whatever it is. All of a sudden, right there in the middle of May, you got all of these line items from July. Why? No one knows. Will anyone ever know? As of now, no, because they've stopped the forensic audit. The forensic audit on the electronic tabulators that are used in virtually every single election around the country and will once again be used in 2012. Cool, huh? What's being done about it? Oh, Not nothing. Actually, I mean nothing. Nothing. Nothing is being done about it other than guys like crazy conspiracy theorists like Brad Blog who are raising holy hell about this. And, you know, candidates, parties, they usually don't give a damn until they've either lost an election or apparently until Anonymous puts out a video saying it's time to target the elections. Then all of a sudden it gets scary, doesn't it? Meantime, the front end war on voting continues as Republicans attempt to keep people from voting, claiming that voter fraud is going on, is rampant across the country, that Democrats are defrauding elections, Democratic voters are going in actually saying they're someone else and casting a vote at the polling place. Of course, that doesn't happen. And study after study, including one study by George W. Bush's own Department of Justice, shows that that doesn't happen. Yes, there is occasional voter fraud. It's usually done when it is done. In those rare moments, it's done by absentee voting, not at the polling place, where they are now requiring photo ID, state-issued photo ID in state after state, where Republicans have taken over the state houses. In order to keep, let's see, elderly, student, minority, disabled voters, in other words, Democratic-leaning voters from being able to cast a vote at all. Well, is anything being done about that? A little bit. And we'll talk about that. Actually, let me see if I can play this speech. We'll come back. We'll talk about it a little bit in the next half hour. And we will take your calls then. Get in line now. Got any questions? Got any thoughts on all of this? Any and all? I'd love to hear from you. These are your public airwaves. So give us a call at 818-985-KPFK. That's 818-985-5735. Before we go to the break, let me play a quick clip or two about something that may be done with it. That would be Eric Holder. Did you know we have an attorney general? I had no idea. And then suddenly, here comes Eric Holder last week at the Lyndon Baines Johnson Library and Museum in Austin, speaking out about the war on voting. Here's a few minutes from what Attorney General Eric Holder, and yes, we have one, had to say last week in Austin.
In 1965, when President Johnson signed the landmark Voting Rights Act into law, he proclaimed, and I quote, "The right to vote is the basic right without which all others are meaningless," unquote. Today, as Attorney General, I have the privilege and the solemn duty of enforcing this law and the other civil rights reforms that President Johnson championed. Now, this work is among the Justice Department's most important priorities, and our efforts honor the generations of Americans who have taken extraordinary risks and willingly confronted hatred, bias, and ignorance, as well as billy clubs and fire hoses, bullets and bombs, to ensure that their children and all American citizens would have the chance to participate in the work of their government. The right to vote is not only the cornerstone of our system of government, it is the lifeblood of our democracy. And no force has proved more powerful or more integral to the success of the great American experiment than efforts to expand the franchise. As Congressman John Lewis described it in a speech on the House floor this summer, the voting rights that he worked throughout his life and nearly gave his life to ensure are, and again I quote, "under attack by a deliberate and systematic attempt to prevent millions of elderly voters, young voters, students, and minority and low-income voters from exercising their constitutional right to engage in the democratic progress," unquote. Not only was he referring to the all-too-common deceptive practices that we've been fighting for years, he was echoing more recent concerns about some of the state-level voting law changes that we've seen this legislative season.
That was Eric Holder speaking last week at the Lyndon Baines Johnson Library in and Museum in Austin about the war on voting, discussing what, if anything, the Department of Justice plans to do about it. And so we'll get into that a little bit in our second half hour, along with your phone calls. Get in line now, 818-985-5735. If you have any thoughts on this, 818-985-5735. I'm Brad Friedman, usually heard at 3:30 p.m. Pacific time on Wednesdays, right here on KPFK, in this afternoon with a special War on Democracy report in place of Voices from the Front Lines with Eric Mann. We're going to take a quick break here and come back with all of that. Also, well, we'll take a quick break, and then we'll come back with, just to break things up a little bit, our Green News Report with the lovely Desi Doyen, who is my producer on this show. She's also my co-host on the Green News Report, heard on many fine progressive radio stations across your public airwaves across the nation. We'll play it when we get back from the break here momentarily, and then back with much more on the war on voting. Brad Friedman, this is your Bradcast right here on KPFK. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Kelly Madison, inviting you to join us Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. on Beautiful Struggle. A just world is possible, and each week we bring you people who intend to make it real.
What happens with the African American in this country, I think it's important for everybody to realize, affects every one of us.
The inner city, the communities that they call poor, but in reality they're communities that are really rich, with people with determination, rich with people with the ability to sustain themselves over all of these years and years and years of capitalism and sexism and racism.
Lesson from the Zapatistas is like, it's not about changing this world, it's about creating another world.
Every individual must tune into their individual responsibility to simply be and live up to themselves.
Now let us begin. Now let us rededicate ourselves to the long and bitter but beautiful struggle for a new world.
Join the dialogue Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. on Beautiful Struggle.
It's Tuesday, December 20th, 2011.
Belief in man-made global warming is a lot like believing in Santa Claus. It's fun to believe in it for a while when you're a kid, but it's a costly myth.
Lots of coal in his Christmas stocking. Rush Limbaugh named climate change misinformer of the year.
A small victory for those who like their light bulbs the old-fashioned way.
ABC News buys into the bulb ban baloney. Illegal logging leads to devastation in the Philippines. Meet the world's newest oil spill, now back in the Gulf of Mexico. Plus,
the nuclear reactors have reached a state of cold shutdown, and therefore we can now confirm that we have come to the end of the accident phase of the actual reactors.
Wow, what do you know? Right on schedule. Everything's fine now at Fukushima.
Just as planned. Perfect. All of that and more straight ahead from BradBlog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
The reason why you had BP being such a problem, Adam, is because it was so far offshore. And the reason why it was so far offshore is because of environmental reasons.
Or because that's where the oil is, Fox News. Brother, this is your Green News Report. Okay, Des, we got a lot to cover today, so I will shut up and let you get right at it.
Okay. Another deadly extreme weather disaster in a record year of weather disasters. Nearly 1,000 people are confirmed dead in the Philippines after record rains from Typhoon Washi caused flash flooding and mudslides in a mountain area over the weekend. Illegal logging is believed to have played a role in the high death toll, denuding the mountainsides and sending thousands of massive logs crashing down, sweeping away homes as people slept. It's the world's newest oil spill, now in the Gulf of Mexico, again. 13,000 gallons of oil were reported spilled from a drilling rig owned by Shell Oil, just 26 miles from the site of the worst oil spill in the nation's history, the BP Macondo well. Shell says this new leak has been stopped and cleanup operations have begun. But meanwhile, Shell has now got the go-ahead to drill in the harsh extremes of the Arctic. The Interior Department on Friday gave the conditional approval for Shell to drill for oil in Alaska's Chukchi Sea, despite warnings from the U.S. Coast Guard that no one is prepared to deal with an oil spill of any size in the Arctic.
Which sea?
Chukchi.
Okay, thanks.
I now officially declare the completion of Phase 2 on our roadmap to end the nuclear crisis.
Japanese Prime Minister Yoshihiko Noda on Monday officially declared that the tsunami-damaged reactors at the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant are now in a state of cold shutdown, meaning water used to cool the nuclear fuel rods has remained under the boiling point for some time.
Didn't they promise to get this under control by the end of this year?
Yes, and the announcement comes just in time.
Very, very fortunate.
Japan says it will now move into decommissioning the damaged units, a process that could take 30 to 40 years. International groups are skeptical as to whether this was a political announcement, cautioning that little is known about the actual conditions of the reactors.
Count me in with those international skeptics.
Dim bulbs at ABC News.
Beginning next year, the federal government had planned to start banning cheap, energy-guzzling light bulbs. Who's the government to tell me what kind of light bulb to buy?
That was ABC News' Jonathan Carl perpetuating the myth of the so-called light bulb ban. So, for the umpteenth time, there is no light bulb ban. Incandescent bulbs will still be available. They'll just be more energy efficient and cost you a lot less to use. Rolling back the new energy efficiency requirements for light bulbs is part of the House Republican obstruction of legislation to extend the payroll tax cut for the middle class.
And wasn't that bill signed by George W. Bush?
Indeed it was.
And isn't it supported by the light bulb industry?
Yes, it is.
And yet, the Republicans are suddenly against it.
Yes, they are.
Why do Republicans hate American big business?
Perhaps they want you to spend more on energy.
Ah, good point.
Another rider attached to that payroll tax cut extension would force a quick decision on the controversial Keystone XL pipeline from Canada within 60 days. But that may backfire on Republicans if the State Department follows through on its threat that the new deadline will force it to deny approval of the pipeline. Finally,
I get blue in the face repeating this over and over again. It's a hoax. There's nothing true about it. It's a costly myth. Global warming, climate change, it's a hoax. Liberals, they lie. All of it lies. There isn't any global warming. It's getting colder. The Earth is facing a mini ice age within 10 years.
Rush Limbaugh is number one. He has won top climate change misinformer of the year for 2011. As MediaMatters.org said in bestowing the dubious honor, quote, in 1994, Rush Limbaugh declared there is no global warming going on, adding that scientists admit they may need 20 years more to prove it. Since then, Limbaugh's managed to shield his brain from 18 years of mounting scientific evidence that humans are changing the climate. Congrats, Rush. You finally won something.
Way to go, Rush. When it comes to liars, no one tops you. Merry Christmas. Read much more on all of the stories we covered today and those we didn't have time for at our website, greennews.bradblog.com. While you're there, please consider a Christmas gift to help support the Green News. Your donations help us stay on the air and counter the number one liar in the nation, Rush Limbaugh. Don't forget to download us on iTunes and follow us on the Twitters at Green News Report. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies.
What is love? Evidence is clear. I'm not alone. There are thousands of us here. This is my democracy. You won't go telling me my vote don't matter anymore.
No, you won't.
And is not worth fighting for.
Yes, it is.
This is our democracy. We'll fight to keep it free. You won't go telling me our vote don't matter anymore.
No, you won't go telling me that. You can try, but it won't work. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in with a special broadcast today, a special War on Voting edition of the broadcast. I'm usually heard at 3:30 on Wednesdays, 3:30 Pacific time, right here on KPFK, 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, 93.7 FM in San Diego, 99.5 FM in Ridgecrest and China Lake, and coast to coast and around the globe on KPFK.org. In today for Voices from the Front Lines with Eric Mann. And we are talking, as I say, about the war on voting. And we're going to try to get to some of your calls at 818-985-5735. That's 818-985-5735.
KPFK. Because I usually only do a half an hour on Wednesday, I don't get to take calls. So if you'd like to ring in on any of this, if you have any questions for me about this, if you have any questions about how these voting systems work, if you have any thoughts, are you concerned about what's going to happen next year in the 2012 presidential election? Are you concerned about hacking? Are you concerned about outsiders like Anonymous hacking the elections, as the Republicans claim to be concerned about up there in Iowa for the Iowa caucuses? Are you concerned about Republicans hacking the elections, Democrats hacking the elections? Have you been convinced that there is voter fraud? Voter fraud versus election fraud. Voter fraud going on at the polling place. Do you think that polling place photo ID laws actually make sense? If so, give us a call. Love to hear from you. 818-985-5735. Talking about the elections. Talking about the track conditions as much as we're talking about the horse race. Let everyone else talk about the horse race. Although, obviously, the horse race plays into all of this. And, by the way, you can also reach me on the Twitters at Bradblog. I'm sorry, at The Bradblog. That's The Bradblog over on Twitter. I'll try to keep my eyes on any thoughts you have over there. Spread the word. We're here talking democracy. And I will be back again tomorrow at 3:30 Pacific time on Wednesday to continue that discussion. We had a caller who called in who said that he couldn't hold on, but said that if it doesn't go their way for Republicans, the Republicans will claim that the election was hacked, and if it goes their way, you'll hear nothing about it. Well, that's true, but here's the deal. You're allowing that to happen. We're allowing that to happen. Democrats are allowing that to happen. When they allow a voting system that is not transparent, that's exactly what they can do. And I've heard, concerning this Iowa thing now with Ron Paul up in the lead, a lot of folks are saying, well, if Paul wins, the Republicans will claim Anonymous hacked it. And then I've heard Ron Paul supporters say, well, the Republicans are going to hack it to keep Ron Paul from winning. Yeah, that's the point. That's why you need a 100% transparent election system. I've been saying it over and over and over for years. Apparently, I have to continue saying it until everyone in the nation gets it, because, not everyone is out there talking about it. Very few of us are. I am. And if you've heard me talking about it over and over again for years, well, my apologies. But until everyone else in this nation is talking about it, I guess it's going to be left to me. So concerns about the electronic voting systems that are not transparent, and concerns about the front-end war on voting being waged by Republicans this year in a way that we have not seen since Jim Crow in the South, which led to the 1965 Voting Rights Act, about which Lyndon Johnson, who passed it in 1965, here's what he had to say about the sacred right to vote.
There is no constitutional issue here. The command of the Constitution is plain. There is no moral issue. It is wrong, deadly wrong, to deny any of your fellow Americans the right to vote in this country.
And yet, that is exactly what is happening in 2012 in an unprecedented way. I've been reporting over these airwaves about 96-year-old Dorothy Cooper, who's fighting for her right to vote under Tennessee's new GOP voter suppression law. She's 96 years old. She's been voting without fail for some 70 years. Now, all of a sudden, she may not be able to vote because, you see, she doesn't have a driver's license. She never had a driver's license. Oh, she's got a birth certificate. Oh, she's got all kinds of materials. The problem is, the birth certificate that's required to get her quote-unquote free photo ID, it's got a different name than the one she has now, because she got married at some point in her 96 years, but she can't find her marriage certificate. So 96-year-old African-American Dorothy Cooper, who was able to vote under Jim Crow without a problem, may not be able to vote under Republicans in 2012 in the state of Tennessee. Or 84-year-old Ruth L. Frank, who never had a birth certificate because she was born at home. So she'll have to pay $20 to get a birth certificate so she can get her quote-unquote free ID. Problem is, to get her birth certificate, the Registrar of Deeds has her name, but it has it misspelled. So she can pay $20 to get her birth certificate, poll tax. But to have that birth certificate changed so that her name is spelled correctly may cost $200. She's 84 years old. And she may have to pay $200 to vote where? Not in the Deep South, but in the state of Wisconsin. Thanks to GOP voter suppression laws in 2012. Yeah, it kind of ticks me off. I got much more here, but let's try to get to some of your calls. 818-985-5735. Let's go to Victoria in Los Angeles. Hey, Victoria. Welcome to KPFK. What's on your mind?
Well, I am happy to be on with you. I'm pleasantly surprised that it was such a smooth sail to get on the air that I thank you. It's so easy. And I'm it's your internet.
These are your airwaves, baby. Yeah.
You are hot. So, I've lived in Chicago, and I was there physically when they were busing people from Gary, Indiana across to bump the numbers. And so I was listening to your show and thinking, we need to share that as well as everything else that's going on. I mean, there has to be one tracking system.
You're saying, let me get that straight, Victoria. You're saying that who was busing people to
they
where?
They were busing people over. I lived there for 12 years, and when I was married, I had a condo in the city, house in the country. And
they were voting illegally?
And they were voting illegally, and it's not a joke. They really bust people.
No, I believe you. What year was this?
Oh, this was between the years of the late 90s through just a few years ago.
And were these people registered to vote in
the
state of Illinois?
You know, we're on the south side, and when you have blonde hair and you don't really want to go to the south side, there's a demarcation zone there.
And so how do you know that they were voting illegally?
We were heading out to do something kind of odd and fun. I was offered to go hunting with a falcon, with some falconers.
But how do you know that these people were voting illegally, Victoria?
We had stopped for lunch, and this was kind of common knowledge by everybody surrounding the border.
Yeah, well, the funny thing about this common knowledge, I've heard this story over and over again, how they're always busing people in from another state to vote illegally. And I was speaking the other day with Bev Harris, who is a great election integrity advocate from blackboxvoting.org. And she said, and she said once again that, oh, yes, we heard that story about the people being bused in. Someone had told it to her that they were being bused in into Oregon to vote illegally. And the funny thing is, Oregon has all vote-by-mail elections.
Well, that could be true.
So,
buses at McDonald's, right by the border, by the Skyway.
Okay. All right.
So,
in any case, I've got a lot of calls.
What are you doing here?
All right. If you say so.
We're going to vote.
If you say so, I need to see evidence before I believe you. Anyway, Victoria, you had another point about the electronic voting systems?
Well, I was in Florida during the Hanging Chad incidents also, and I just...
You're a menace, Victor. Anywhere you go, you have troubled elections, don't you?
No, it's not that at all. I like to keep track of what's happening. And I actually have a radio broadcast in Los Angeles. You should come join me sometime.
I would be happy to. Victoria, let me get to another call. Thanks for ringing in.
Thanks
and I
for
agree
having
with
us, and you sound great.
Thanks.
We love you.
Much
Bye.
Appreciated. Love you back. All right, let's get to let's see if we can get a bunch of calls here. Bob in Sherman Oaks, welcome to KPFK.
Hi. Number one, it's real simple. We have a year for people to believe that they're going to change the laws in the courts, especially the Supreme Court, is ridiculous. I mean, they are Republican oligarchy in the Supreme Court. We all know that. So what has to happen is every young person who also has trouble with their ID or doesn't have trouble with their ID are going to be off all summer. And the seniors are the other group that are having problems. So
right.
All it takes is the young people to...
And the minorities. Don't forget the minorities, Bob.
Well, I'm sorry. And I'm just working on two groups right now. Yes, and all the minorities.
Yep.
And find out, and run ads in AARP and any newspaper that they can afford or on the Internet that people will be helped. One person can drive five other people in a car to do whatever they need to do as far as birth certificates go, raise money.
Well, that's great, Bob.
Massive group and spend the year getting these people registered under the new terrible law.
You can fight like hell to do that, and you should fight like hell to do that.
But
the fact is,
the 99 movement, if they want to make a difference, the same people that put the singular passion into a broad point of view need to gather the power of voters now, or their movement will mean nothing. So the 99 people who have lost a place to live now need to get people. But wait, one more thing.
Yeah.
And this is really important.
Quickly.
The financial thing that nobody understands in this country and needs to be expressed is the commodities market. The commodities have gone up 500%. The world is starving. If we care about anything but just the poor and hungry Americans, it's the hundreds of millions of people that can't afford food because the same people who drove oil up to $100, and we have more oil than we ever have by speculation.
Okay, I hear you.
Wait a second.
No, Bob, I want to stay on topic, and I got to...
One last thing, please.
Quickly, you got 15 seconds.
It only takes 5% margins to buy a contract.
Okay, 5%. Thanks, Bob. I got to go. I don't disagree with your point, but I want to stay on topic here. We could talk about that another day. You're absolutely right, of course. As far as the fight to change these laws, yes, you got to fight to make sure that people get their photo ID, their free quote-unquote photo ID. But we also need to fight against the laws. And we're going to talk tomorrow on the broadcast at 3:30 p.m. Pacific time about some of the fights that are going on to overturn these laws around the country, to challenge them both by the Department of Justice, who doesn't need the Supreme Court to turn down these voter suppression laws in a lot of states, in a lot of the southern states that are covered by the Voting Rights Act, and up north in places like Wisconsin, where the ACLU is taking on the GOP's voter suppression law up there. 818-985-5735. If you'd like to get in, we've got a few more lines open. 818-985-5735. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com and our War on Voting special, our last chance before the voting begins at the Iowa caucuses in January, January 3rd. Let's go to Matt in Topanga. Hey, Matt, welcome to KPFK. What's on your mind, my friend?
Oh, hey, Brad, you're one of my heroes. Can you thank your parents for procreating, because you're one of the treasures in our world, and I'm honored to be speaking to you. And I just wanted,
You know what? You're very kind, and it's the first night of Hanukkah, and I didn't get my parents anything, so I'll just make them a copy of that clip and send it off to them as my gift. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate that.
Make 12 copies for that.
it would be 8, and, but all right.
Four for next year.
Okay, good.
Anyway, sorry, you could tell I'm non-theist. I wanted to mention the movie Hacking Democracy,
because
I'm sure everybody listening to KPFK now realizes what's up with Diebold and all these, but that film perfectly illustrates, it shows, you know, without a doubt, incontrovertibly, these machines can be hacked. So anybody who has any red meat friends who think that's a bunch of hogwash, please direct them towards that movie, because they will certainly feel otherwise after.
And you can check that film out at hackingdemocracy.com. I also might recommend a little film by the name of Murder, Spies, and Voting Lies, which I am in, but it's good anyway. Oh. And you can check that out at votinglies.com. There's a lot of great documentary films on this. Uncountedthemovie.com. Warning, I'm also in that, but it's really good anyway. All of these films. There's no question that these systems are vulnerable. And if anybody thinks that anymore, well, I don't know. You know, I was going to say they must be watching Fox News, but the fact is this has been covered on Fox News. Stories that I've broken a Brad blog on this have been covered at Fox News. And yet we still don't do anything about it. What's that?
I enjoyed hearing you had a link through your site a week or two ago where you were on another radio show doing sort of a intellectual smackdown. I don't think they were teabaggers, but it was about the 99, about the Occupy movement, and the guy had some really ridiculous sort of obvious that his frontal lobe had been compromised by corporate media, and I was so pleased to hear your you know, very concise and completely on target rebuttal.
Thank you, brother. We will fight them on every front of the fight for the truth. I appreciate your kind words, Matt. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. And my parents will appreciate their Hanukkah gift this year. Let me go to Jim in Shadow Hills. Hey, Jim, welcome to the welcome to KPFK.
Hey, Brad, how you doing?
I'm doing okay.
I really like what you're doing.
Thank you, man.
Everybody should be doing this. They should be screaming out throughout the whole country.
Yep.
What's President Obama doing about this? You know, they want to bring him down, then the Attorney General.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, have you talked to him? Have you tried to make contact with him? Is there any kind of clue to what the President of the United States is doing about this election fraud?
Yeah, well, nothing. Not a damn thing. And in fact, back in 2008, when he had his questionable election up in New Hampshire, and Hillary Clinton won for some odd reason on the Diebold machines up there, he could have challenged, had a hand count across the entire state for $2,000. He didn't. He left it to Dennis Kucinich to raise some $60,000 for a partial hand count up there. So no, he's not doing much. On the other hand, the Department of Justice is beginning to do something. They say they're doing something. Eric Holder, in his speech last week at the LBJ Library in Austin, said gave a pretty clear indication that they are going to be challenging these photo ID restrictions in Texas, in South Carolina, in Florida. So the DOJ can stop some of these laws in some of these states, some of these southern states under the Voting Rights Act. And I'm going to talk a little bit about a little bit more about that tomorrow on the tomorrow's broadcast at 3:30.
Great.
All right.
Great. Would you be in contact with Eric Holder's office at all?
Well,
find out if they actually are going to do that.
Well, I can tell you what they have said. I can tell you what I've been able to learn from them and what they're doing publicly. I will pick that up tomorrow at 3:30. All right.
Okay.
Thanks,
all right,
Jim.
Thanks a lot, Brad.
I appreciate it. Be sure to tune in then. We will have more on the war on voting, our last chance here before the voting actually does begin. January 3rd. Much earlier than usual, by the way, this year. All of these primaries are now jammed up. Primaries and caucuses are now jammed up into January. It's going to be a really busy and really unfun month for me. At Brad Blog, I suspect. I'm also, by the way, I'm Mike Malloy's regular guest host. I'll be sitting in for him once again this Friday night, so you can hopefully find me there. And I, as I say, we'll be back tomorrow, 3:30 p.m. Pacific time. We'll have a half hour only, but we'll pick up where we left off today as the war on voting continues. And the war that is being joined, I hope, by people like you, by listeners of KPFK, by patriots who want to stand up and fight for your democracy, because I believe that, yes, it matters. I hope you agree, and I hope you'll join me in that fight. To do that, please stop on by bradblog.com, tweet me on the Twitters at TheBradBlog, My thanks today to Desi Doyen, our producer, our engineer Federico, Alan Minsky, who allowed me to do today's special War on Voting. Voices from the front lines with Eric Mann will be back soon. Until then, I'm Brad Friedman, and I'll see you at bradblog.com.